Lord Jesus Christ. What a wondrous picture, vision that we have today through Scripture, depicted on your bulletin covers of the transfiguration and the glory of Jesus, the shining brightness as of the sun radiating forth through his humanity. What a wondrous sight that is. So I've entitled today's message, Light Shines Through Our Darkness. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a wondrous conclusion this is to the Epiphany season, to see Jesus in all of his glory, divinity radiating forth, but it is all for a reason that he did so, that his disciples and even he himself may go down from that mountain towards Jerusalem, death and darkness and Satan, but always to be sustained by the vision of the glory that was to come for all of them, the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension, and for the disciples likewise, as they are in Christ, they too may rise from the dead. And are we not also the disciples as well? We follow the light and see the light through times of great darkness because we know that at the end there is the resurrection and there is the glory. May we be so sustained. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We can all read a story and think we know the ending. But the good author, the talented author, draws you so far into the saga that as the seconds tick, they slow down. And it feels like you're sitting with the sheriff, wondering if you're going to survive the shootout that's at high noon. Or if westerns aren't your genre, then seconds tick slowly as your hand rests on the scabbard of Sir Galahad, wondering if he will wield it clearly and cleanly to strike off the dragon's head. Or if fantasy isn't your genre either, then you sit with the captain, wondering as he fires up the warp drive to hitherto unfathomable speeds if the ship will indeed navigate intact, or shall it disperse into little bits through interstellar space? The good author makes you feel uncertain about whether it's going to be one of those happily ever afters or not. Some can't bear that hour or two of reading or watching a movie to find out whether everything's going to be okay. I'm sure you've all been there. I know I have, especially early on reading novels. So they skip to the last page. They ignore the spoiler alerts that come on the radio. They must find out the hero's fate, and then only when knowing that everything's going to be okay can they rest easy, assume reading or watching. I know we've all done that at times. If you have a hard enough time living through the couple of hours it takes to read a book or watch a movie, how much harder it is living through the 70, 80, or 90, or whatever number of years God gives to you for the story of your life. Doom threatens at times. Life is hard. Sometimes it seems so dark, you wonder if you're ever going to get out, if you're ever going to make it out alive. Sometimes you feel like such a failure. Even the people we look up to as great leaders, or just great human beings, I assure you that as they share our mutual humanity, there's always some regret. There's always some door that's left unopened, some inescapable situation, some nagging doubt, even Jesus. Because our Lord shared our humanity in its entirety, suffered temptations as we have, and will most certainly have been tempted to wonder, will it all work out? Will it all work out? Jesus must have wondered in his humanity, tempted to wonder that. But the Transfiguration Sunday, we have the last page of the book. We have the last frame of the film. And that, my friends, is glorious. Knowing that it's all going to be okay. Even more than okay. And it's going to be more than just okay. It's time to get back to living the stories of our lives in a kind of certainty, because we know what's going to happen at the end. Take the risks that you need to take in life. Live the adventure. Let life be an adventure for you because you've got that safety net. You know how it's all going to work out in the end. Now, we must not cease our struggles, possess our hopes, dream our dreams. But when the darkest of nights come, and most certainly they come, we have in our possession, we have the rest of the story. Christians belong in Christ. So we know how it's all going to end for us. We are in Christ. We are living in his life. Death, yes. Suffering, yes. Suffering, death. But also in his resurrection and in his ascension to glory. The glories of heaven. Peter, James, and John were on this mount in the night, but they were not afraid in the darkness. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Your glory fills the night. We're going to sing that if we haven't already sung it. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Your glory fills the night. That's a closing hymn, actually. The glory of God through Jesus Christ also fills the moments of our spiritual darkness, our despair, our times of hopelessness. We might wonder, am I accomplishing anything significant in this life? Or you might be wondering, will I ever experience some joy? Will I ever experience some joy ever? Will my loved ones ever believe in Jesus, be in his church, and join me in heaven? Will I ever win some battles against the chronic temptations that I have? And Jesus knows your temptations. Such are dark times for all Christians. But into the darkness comes the light of God's word. You who are in Christ are significant and you are precious, no matter how much or little the worldly observer thinks that you accomplish in that 70, 80, 90, or whatever number of years you have. And more than that, even when you reach 90 or whatever age that you are at death's door, know that for you, Christian, know that even when to the world it appears that you're at the end, really, in reality, you have just begun. You're at the doorstep of eternity. As for joy, we read, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Will your loved ones join you in heaven? Maybe, maybe not. That's not in your hands. You may not know the answer even if you think you do. And if they heed not Christ's call, we have the promise. And the promise of Jesus is this: truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, the persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We know how it's going to end. As for losing spiritual battles, such may happen. But know this, you may lose the battle, but you will never lose the war. For Jesus promises the devil's time is short when he will be taken and thrown down into the abyss. So behold the light today, the light that's pictured there in the Mount of Transfiguration. For such light will shine through and sustain you through the darkest of times, even as that light was there to sustain our Lord, to sustain Peter, James, and John through the trials ahead. Such was most certainly true for Jesus. The transfiguration of our Lord took place at just the right time in Jesus' life and is celebrated at just the right time in the church year. The transfiguration of the light, of Moses and Elijah proclaiming the light of the world in their scriptures, would sustain Jesus as he begins to set his face towards Jerusalem, moving from Epiphany into the pre-Lenten and Lenten season. Such will sustain us. The transfiguration of the light of Moses and Elijah proclaiming the light of the world will sustain us as we enter into that pre-Lenten and then Lenten season, when we focus in on the sufferings of the cross, the sufferings of Jesus, the death of Jesus that rightly dominates this coming season of the church year. But we have a revelation in knowing how the story ends. We know of the resurrection. We know of the ascension, the eternal glory. Such a vision would be needed to sustain Peter, James, and John also, for Jesus knew what was in store for them. He told them. In more general terms, he tells us also, are we not disciples also? Disciple is never greater than his master. Simon Peter would be told, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Luke 22. You may lose a spiritual battle, Peter, is what Jesus is saying, but you shall not lose the war. Simon Peter would also be told, someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. John's divinely inspired gospel is referring to Peter's martyrdom. And according to church tradition found, Peter was indeed crucified. Indeed, he was led where he did not want to go. He was following in the steps of Jesus. He was crucified, but upside down. You will lose your life, Peter, but in doing so, you shall gain it and so much more. Now, James and John were known as the sons of thunder. They were impetuous, ambitious, bold, zealous, to the point of being reckless. On one occasion, they asked Jesus, Jesus, shall we call down fire upon this town that does not want to listen to you? Jesus had to rein in their misguided zeal. They came by such temperament honestly as their mother, then boldly asked Jesus if they could be given rank in the coming kingdom. Lord, will you let my sons sit at your right and at your left? Meaning, will they be like the right honorable? Will they be like a lieutenant in your kingdom? Jesus deferred to his Father on that request, but gave them this certainty, that they would drink from the same cup of suffering he drank from. They would be baptized of the same fire he was baptized with. Indeed, James would be the first apostle martyred for his faith, and John would be the one to whom Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, entrusted the care of his own mother, and who was kept alive to witness the vision of the events in the book of Revelation. And they think, well, that would be great. But it's like he was living through it as he observed all of these things, the fires of the dragon. and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Doesn't sound too easy to me. Oh, what burdensome visions. Such a task harder than even martyrdom. How would these saints be sustained? Peter, James, and John. They would be sustained because they knew the ultimate victory was in Christ, in the words of St. Paul, because he lives, you shall live also. Now back to your own personal story. Know that you stand with our Lord. You stand with Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John today on a holy mountain. And the glory of the Lord is real. It abides with us always, even through our darkest hour. I like the collect. Collects wrap things up so nicely. And it was talking in the collect, you hear mentioned about the glory of the Lord, you know, that mist that was on the mountain. You know, there was always a mist that was sort of like indicated the presence of the Holy Spirit, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, but the pillar of cloud was guiding Israel to the promised land. And over the temple, there would be this cloud that sort of represented the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can be assured that we have this, for we are baptized into our Lord's life, death, and resurrection. And as we share in his sufferings, we have the promise that we shall share in his glories also. As Jesus shines as the sun, so shall we shine as stars forever and ever. The prophet Daniel says this. And those who are wise, what is the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, there's no greater righteousness than the righteousness of Christ. And those who turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. What light. What epiphany we have to shine through the darkness in our lives even today and throughout our lives. We praise God for that. In Jesus' name, amen.